Hey guys, welcome back to the Morning Update podcast today. So there was a absolute metaphorical tsunami that hit the United States, and it's pretty big. Trump announced the tariffs that he's been talking about on his so-called Liberation Day, and I would argue it's probably worse than any economist or investor thought they possibly could be, and we'll get to why that is, but it's pretty huge. I guess I'll just start with the basics. There is now a 10% tariff on, without exception, well, that's not true. There are two exceptions. Canada and Mexico were not included on Liberation Day tariffs. Other than that, there's a base 10% tariff on literally every single country in the world. And I mean, like, literally every single country. There's a tiny little island nation. It's not really a nation. But it's just north of Antarctica, and its only inhabitants are penguins. And I'm not kidding, there's a 10% tariff on that island. But yeah, so literally every single country except for Canada and Mexico were included. All countries have a 10% tariff, but the average tariff is like 16%. It's pretty big. We don't know what the effects are going to be about this. Trump's whole goal is to make this sort of like a manufacturing haven for the United States. So, we're going to tariff everyone. And his excuse is we're tariffing them because they're tariffing us. That's not true. It isn't.
I mean, yeah, the pure nature of this blanket 10% tariff, uniformly laid across what? Like one third of the tariffs, it looks like, are more than 10% and could probably be argued this is in some part reciprocal, while a great portion of the countries in the world are only given 10% tariffs purely because they're another country.
Right. Yeah. And, I guess you could see like some of these super high tariffs. Let me find Vietnam. We have a super high tariff against Vietnam now, which is not good for companies like Nike and other clothing brands because they're a huge
Yeah.
manufacturer of clothes. Vietnam, we have a 46% tariff on. And it's possible that maybe Vietnam has a 46% tariff on us. I doubt it, but it's possible. But so, okay, I'm just going to say how these are calculated. These are not calculated by taking their import tariffs on us. All of these numbers that you'll find on the White House fact sheet and the Financial Times website and anywhere you find these numbers at, these aren't their tariffs. What they did is they took the trade deficit we have with that country and they divided it by the amount of exports we buy from them. And then that is the so-called their tariff on us number. And then what we did is divided that number by two, and that is our tariff on them.
Which, I mean, if you're really concerned about trade deficits, it makes sense, but it does feel a little dishonest to call that reciprocal.
Yeah.
You want reciprocal trade, not reciprocal tariffs.
Right. I think he couldn't get away with saying reciprocal trade just because it's probably not nearly as popular. So, he's got to try to market it, but it is very dishonest.
There is one thing I saw this morning that I thought, at least because of who it targeted, it was a better idea, is there used to be a loophole in our tariff system where, like, packages, individual packages below $800 weren't subject to tariffs. And it was supposed to help, like, small businesses, that if a small business making candles wanted, I don't know, 50 pounds of wax from Brazil, they would be able to get that without tariffs.
Huh.
But that exception has made these companies like Shein and Temu possible, where the cheapest, most unethically sourced Chinese goods can get in under the radar. So I think it makes sense to close that loophole, but I do wonder if that would seriously affect small businesses.
I guess there's no way to tell except by waiting, but the markets
Yeah.
seem to know or do seem to think so. So,
I mean, we're not economists, but we can definitely see the market reaction. And I think overall, investors are fine. Like, they had a lot of resiliency, but they're finally getting spooked.
yeah, they all got super excited with the election of Trump and everything, and then they sort of went into correction territory when he got inaugurated, which that tends to happen. There's always a dip before the election and then a rise after the election and then a dip when they get inaugurated and then it corrects itself again. But this time they're not really correcting themselves again, and that's because these tariffs are really bad. So I think we saw like an almost 2,000 point drop in the Dow Jones, which is
Is significant
yeah.
in a market that only has 40,000.
Yeah. Do you remember that time when they were at 43,000 points?
Yeah, it was recently, wasn't it?
Yeah. Just like a month ago or something like that. That was incredible. Who knows when that's going to happen again? They're now at like 40,500. This could change. The market's just open today, so that could change. But I expect all these stocks, the S&P 500 is down 275 points. I expect all those stocks to continue their downwards trend. Even Apple,
Which
like, down 20.
I have heard this theory, and maybe you've heard it also, that Trump is kind of trying to devalue our currency, in that the dollar is really strong worldwide. Kind of one of our main exports is the dollar, which leads to pretty high deficits, obviously. And he's trying to, through these tariffs and through this instability, not only make American industry more competitive through the tariffs, but also through this deep correction in the stock market that doesn't come from an actual actual destruction of capital, but more investors putting their money somewhere else. Or taking their money out, we would be able to become more competitive because a dollar start buying more because they're, it was a kind of convoluted reasoning, but I'm trying to think of ways that this could actually work out, especially for the American manufacturer.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think it makes a lot of sense though. Was You might know more about this than I do, I guess. I don't know too much about Ronald Reagan's efforts on this same thing, but apparently Ronald Reagan tried devaluing the dollar as well in order to make our exports, more affordable. But I don't think he implemented tariffs. I don't remember how he did it. It might have been something with interest rates. I don't know.
Yeah, which all of these things, inflation is an invisible tax, tariffs are an invisible tax, changing currency rates is an invisible tax. These are all things that still closely affect the nation's prosperity. It's not like this is totally up in the air, and I think people know that.
Right, yeah. Speaking of invisible taxes, so please do not take these numbers that I'll give you as like fact. I don't know if they are fact or not. I just did very quick, basic calculations to get them, and I'm not an economist. So just quick disclaimer. To talk about this as an invisible tax, if you're curious how bad it is or how good it is, Americans in 2024 spent roughly $4 trillion on goods, just about any goods, goods you buy in the United States or abroad. Out of those four tr no, those are on foreign, sorry, $4 trillion on foreign goods. And then when you add the 16.39% average tariff to that number, you get 4.6-ish trillion dollars, which means goods are going to get expensive at whole by roughly $650 billion, which means $13,500 per American. Obviously, that
Which
number.
is significantly more than any proposed tax hike would do.
Yeah, it's not going to be offset by making tax cuts permanent either. This number was taken from GDP, so the 13,500 just means if you make 77 grand a year, that's probably roughly how much your price will go up. If we're
Which
talking, yeah.
one that is not the average American making 77, but also like I went to the store yesterday and I saw eggs were still $6, which is lower than what, or like $5, lower than what they were before, but I didn't really want to pay $5 for eggs. So instead of getting eggs, I got yogurt. And I think the American consumer will do something similar where it's like, oh man, salmon from Argentina is really expensive now. I'm going to buy Alaskan salmon. So it's not guaranteed to raise prices through people still having to buy tariffed goods, but it can raise prices in the sense that the amount of goods people are willing to pay for, that market just got a lot smaller. And that would also lead to inflation because it's just the same amount of dollars chasing fewer goods.
Yeah, that's sort of what I'm thinking as well. It's we're I mean we're gonna see pretty quickly what all of this does. Best case scenario is other countries negotiate, and then we get rid of the tariffs on that country and everything goes back to so-called normal. But
And I think negotiation is a huge part of just Trump's plan of this is going to happen quickly, kind of playing out like the tariffs on Canada and Mexico, where the leaders of all these countries are going to go to Washington and be like, you lift the tariff, you get this certain trade deal, or you get this certain carve out, or this certain political win. I think that's at least how Trump wants it to happen, where now the entire world needs to renegotiate their position.
And there's no question that there needs to be a lot of renegotiation, especially with countries or entities like the European Union and whatnot. But
Yeah.
Trump's methods might be a little questionable, but he's
What? Oh, yeah.
The tariffs on everything all at
Yeah.
once. But he has a point when he says that we are being ripped off by other countries.
Tariffs on everything, everywhere, all at once.
Yeah, that might not be a good method.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely designed to shock. And it's not designed perfectly. It seems like there's still a little bit of a, not that we can judge, but a little bit of an amateur element, like as we saw with those group chat leaks. It might not have been perfectly designed.
Right. Yeah, he's still figuring things out, I guess, and he made a very big effort to make sure he didn't hire political veterans for, whatever reason, except for Rubio. Rubio's pretty great. So yeah, there's definitely a pretty big amateur element, but
Though we do have, in terms of good news, one, nearly a quarter million jobs were added in March, which is strong. We also have the inflation rate. In February, it was 2.8%. I think it might even get even lower to like 2.5%. So we have a strong job market, a low inflation rate. And the natural resources that the US has, that's not going anywhere. If you add on top of that the stability that we get from basically having the border crisis shut down, we're at least in a good situation to deal with this massive shock. Because if we had multiple crises at the same time, this could get out of hand, obviously, more easily.
Right, yeah, that's a pretty good point. Even if you don't like this effort from Trump, he has done quite a lot of good in the past few months or so. So this might not be great, but it might end well. Who knows? We'll have to wait and see. All these other things that he's fixed that helps to make this less painful. But though,
And,
yeah, go ahead.
well, I was just thinking as a final kind of way to put rose-colored glasses on what seems to be one of the most insane trade practices recently. It'll make a lot of money. It'll make like $500 trillion a year if it goes into full effect and if people actually still buy these goods.
Yeah, that would be really great. If you have that additional half trillion in the government expenditure, then maybe we could just spend it on reducing the deficit instead of increasing
Yeah.
all of our
Well,
entitlements.
I think if you count how Doge has already taken out, I think it's already at least a it's like a quarter of a trillion dollars off of our deficit. We're getting close. It's a long road, but we are getting close to breaking even.
Yeah, it's getting there. I'm pretty excited personally. I can't wait. When I'm 80 years old and I'm like, yeah, I voted for the guy that sort of brought the deficit to normal. I probably
Yeah,
can't
if
say that,
there
but
could even be 1 year in which we're in the green, that would be historic.
yeah, that'd be like, was it? I think Bill Clinton had like 1 or 2 fiscal years like that. And then
Yeah.
afterwards, ruined. But yeah.
Well, and from what I've seen, the late 90s, that was the strongest economic period the US has had.
Yeah. It was absolutely enormous. Just like incredible growth, really
Yeah.
great fiscal responsibility. Democrats were almost common sense at that time.
Which, I mean, maybe if you want to be a pessimist, you could say it was backed by short-term strategies, but it was after the North American Free Trade Deal that era of growth happened.
Right.
So, yeah, I think we can definitely give the economists, we can admit that free trade has overall been good for prosperity. But also, again, wait and see because we could see what does it look like when you pump the brakes on free trade, and can this actually pay off politically or economically?
Right. This is person on YouTube. I won't say the channel for right now, but they do a lot of economics research, and they had this whole documentary about what if isolationism in the economy sense came back. And their conclusion was pretty much, it might seem scary or like not good right now, but it could actually end decently well just because the amount of automation that's become popular and all this kind of stuff, it's gotten to the point where most large countries can produce just about everything they need. And we're probably going to find out if that's true, in the next year or so, but
Yeah.
it'll be an experience.
Yeah, we have the workforce, we have plenty of land. Now I think we are opening up more land for development also. We have the resources, but we're also still very trade oriented, very export import oriented. So there's just going to be a lot of pain shifting the entire orientation of our economy.
Right. Okay, so there's one company that has already announced a response to the liberation tariffs. And it's a good response. I don't know why they're doing this. I don't understand the economics behind it, but Ford has announced that they are giving every single person from the United States employee pricing for the next 2 months or so. It's from April 3 to June 2nd. So 2 months or so.
What does that mean?
That means don't be too excited. That means I looked it up. So right now the Mustang Mach-E, which no one buys anyway, but it costs roughly $40,000. Well, it's going to cost $36,500 for the next
That's huge.
3,500 job for roughly every vehicle, roughly.
That will definitely keep people going to the car lots.
Yeah, that might have been what they were thinking, get people to the car lots and then we'll raise prices. I don't know. But we'll see. We'll definitely keep you guys updated as more of this stuff unrolls. It's still pretty early to say what the final results are going to be. We'll let you know when companies move to the United States and if they're going to raise prices, which they probably will. We'll try to keep you guys updated.
So before we close and meet back, I don't know, a week from now, how bad do you think it will be a week from now? Like, just as a guess, where's the Dow Jones going to be?
Probably 38.
38?
Yeah. I mean, if it stays steady today, then it might actually just stay around 39, 40, but I would guess it'd just keep going down to 38.
All right. Yeah, I'll be a bull market advocate and say it'll be at 40. 40 versus 38. Let's hope we don't see a 35.
Oh no, that'd be horrible.
All
Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll try to catch you all next week and keep you updated again. Adios and God bless you.